I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Tua, Tampa Tom, and tampering. The quarterbacks take the same field this morning, and there's a lot at stake for one of them. Plus, the big cheese in Green Bay. Aaron says he feels good about his receivers, but should he? Or will he regret Devontae's departure? And practice problems in New England. Is it too early to sound the alarm about Mac Jones and the Patriots' offense? We will tell you. Good morning. I am Dan Graziano in for Greeny at the Seaport here in New York. Mike Tannenbaum is here with me at the Seaport. Diana Rossini and Chris Canty are somewhere. There they are. They're over there in that television set. They're joining us as well. Talk a lot of football this morning, but we are going to start with baseball. The game of the night, Yankees visiting the Mariners in Seattle. Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees. He gave up six to the Mariners last time out. Much better this time. Bottom of the seventh, no score. You see he sits down Eugenio Suarez on strikes, but Luis Castillo pitching for the Mariners doing just as well. Top of the eighth, Castillo gets Isaiah Kiner-Falefa to ground out the second. He went eight scoreless innings. Cole went seven. It's a pitcher's duel. We're in extra innings. Top 12, still scoreless. Yankees with a runner on second and nobody out. They're going to mess it up. Kiner-Falefa grounds one up the middle. Matt Brash fields it behind his back. Catches Jose Trevino on a rundown. Then Trevino is out. Kiner-Falefa is out. Yankee base running blunder is costly because in the bottom of the 13th, the Mariners have the bases loaded with one out. And Luis Torrens is going to line this ball to right. It's going to drive in the game-winning run for Seattle. Mariners win it 1-0 in 13 innings. Yankees are 7-12 since the All-Star break. 7-12. Worst record of any team that has a winning record for the season. They have failed to capitalize with runners in scoring position lately. They were 0-10 in those situations last night. I have a feeling they might be okay. We're going to go to football now, and on Tuesday, Commissioner Roger Goodell addressed Deshaun Watson's six-game suspension and the league's subsequent appeal. The NFL wants Watson suspended for at least a year, and Goodell explained why at the owners' meetings. Here's what he had to say.
Because we've seen the evidence, she was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, we always felt were really important for us to address in a way that's responsible.
All right, Diana Rossini, as I mentioned, with us. Diana, we'll start with you. What do we know about this situation as it stands?
Well, let's just start with egregious and predatory behavior coming from the mouth of Roger Goodell, the commissioner. That's a really strong statement there, which is why the NFL has been looking for a one-year suspension. We know that they appealed the six-game suspension that Sue L. Robinson handed down. So here's what we know. And Dan, let's make this really clear. No matter what happens during this appeal process, Deshaun Watson is going to be out games 1-6. He is getting six games. There is no changing that because if you recall, the NFLPA, they never appealed the six-game suspension, right? So the only thing that will change now moving forward will be more games added to those six games. So it's either going to be six games or it's going to be more. And as of right now, all we can do is wait as that decision is made.
In the meantime, Diana, the Browns have a preseason game on Friday in Jacksonville. Deshaun Watson eligible to play in that game? Is that correct? Or what do you know about their plans for that?
Yeah, so for now, he could play in this based on the six-game suspension. But if the league were to win this appeal here and it became a full season, he won't be able to play. So no word right now as to whether or not the Cleveland Browns will actually play him on Friday. Obviously, we know rust is a big factor. We haven't seen him in over a year, but this is really going to come down to the Cleveland Browns' decision if we don't hear anything from the league in the next few days.
All right, Mike, they have the game on Friday. It's a preseason game. Jacoby Brissett, the backup, going to start at least the first six games. But do you think there's value in Watson getting in there at all?
Absolutely, Dan. Rust, as Diana mentioned, it's going to be 586 days, Hembo just reminded me, since he's last played a game. He didn't play at all last year, so it's a very unusual situation. But if I'm the Browns, I got to get him meaningful work. You don't know how long he's going to be gone for. Now, with that said, I'm going to keep the first offensive line with him. I'm going to make sure that he's well protected, knowing that it's still football. There's risk of injury. It's a very unusual dynamic to get Jacoby Brissett ready, but this is your franchise quarterback at some point, and you want to put him in the best position possible to be ready whenever that may be.
Right. Obviously, we're not trying to minimize the significance of the off-field stuff with Deshaun Watson. That's front and center, but there is a football story here as well, including what the Browns are going to do at quarterback. And to that end, our friend Dan Orlovsky, I had some thoughts on Twitter. The Browns shouldn't sign Jimmy G, talking about Jimmy Garoppolo of the 49ers. They had their version in Baker and moved on. So Garoppolo, you know, just by way of background for those who don't know, is the Niners quarterback who's very much available in trade because they're moving on to Trey Lance at that position. Chris Canty, we haven't heard from you. I think Mike has something to say on this, but I want to start with you, Chris. Do you think the Browns should pursue Garoppolo, or do you agree with Orlovsky?
They should absolutely go after Jimmy Garoppolo if Deshaun Watson is suspended indefinitely. And guys, I don't know what Dan Orlovsky is smoking, because the Cleveland Browns moved on from Baker because they traded for Deshaun Watson, who's a top 10 quarterback by most accounts. That's a clear upgrade, but the reality is, based on what the quarterback room looks like for the Cleveland Browns right now, Jimmy Garoppolo represents a better talent than anybody else. Now, the only question becomes whether or not the margin between Jimmy G and the other quarterbacks the Browns have is worth the actual cost by the way of draft picks and by the way of salary in order to bring Jimmy G in. But in terms of him being a fit for what Stefanski, it's a very comparable scheme to what Kyle Shanahan runs out there with the San Francisco 49ers. West Coast offense passing concepts married with inside, outside, zone running game, a lot of play action. And last year, Jimmy Garoppolo led the National Football League in yards per attempt on play action passing. So it seems like it would be a great fit. And I think that's something that the Cleveland Browns should absolutely explore if Deshaun Watson is suspended for even longer.
And to take that a step further, I totally agree with Chris, which is I like Jacoby Brissett, Dan, but you're one hit away from having to play Josh Rosen or Josh Dobbs. You have a really good football team in Cleveland. Just the depth alone that Jimmy Garoppolo brings in, it's an absolute no-brainer because, again, you don't know how long Deshaun Watson will be out there. When you get an opportunity to add a quarterback of Jimmy Garoppolo's ability, who's accomplished in the last 2 to 3 years, gone to the Super Bowl and the championship game, it's an absolute no-brainer for Cleveland. And now you may have depth if Watson comes back, which is okay.
Of course, Canty makes a point that, you know, Garoppolo's not free. Cleveland not exactly loaded with draft picks after the Watson trade, right? So, yeah. Diana, what are the 49ers looking for here? What's the latest on their plans for Jimmy?
Yeah, they're basically just sitting back and waiting for the right scenario. Mike, I know you've been in a situation like this before come August with movement of major quarterbacks here. So the Niners are waiting for all the different scenarios to play out. And Kyle Shanahan was pretty open, and he's always very transparent with the media, that he doesn't know of any trade that's in the works right now. Right now, of course, is the key word. So we know all the different options, right? Either the Niners are going to wait for, unfortunately, a quarterback to get injured, or perhaps if the league comes down and this suspension changes from 6 to a full season, maybe this is when the Browns step in and perhaps pursue Jimmy Garoppolo. And of course, we know Jimmy is not part of the plans for the 49ers for 2022. This is Trey Lance's team.
Not part of the plans, but still in the building. So it's possible that's a little bit awkward. But speaking of awkward quarterback situations, it could be an awkward day in Tampa as the Buccaneers are hosting the Dolphins for joint practices. That means Tom Brady, you've heard of him, will share a field with Tua Tagovailoa a little more than a week after the NFL and an NFL investigation revealed that the Dolphins tampered with Brady to try and get him to come to Miami. So, you know, that obviously makes things interesting because they have Tua. They say they're all in on Tua, but we find out they were really trying to get Brady. Big, big mess. Let's keep this one on the field, though, because we know these guys are playing quarterbacks for these particular teams this year. When you look at Tua, how important are these joint practices with Tampa for him?
Well, they're just important. It's another opportunity for him to tamp down the noise. And, Dan, what we're looking for is just the command of this new offense. They had a great offseason, added Tyreek Hill, the most dangerous receiver in football. Obviously, Mike McDaniel, Raheem Mostert, they brought back Mike Gesicki. So I think you want to see him to go out there with poise and leadership, have a good, crisp practice, don't put the ball on the ground, and just make progress today.
Chris, how important are they?
They're huge because it's an opportunity for Tua to get as close to live game reps as he possibly can in terms of the overall speed, going up against an unfamiliar defense and a defense, quite frankly, that was one of the best in all of football the past two seasons. So I think there are a lot of things that we can look for from Tua in these joint practices. He can work on his pocket presence, his timing with his receivers, and his overall feel of the offense with Mike McDaniel. So I think this is a tremendous opportunity for him to get better in a relatively controlled environment.
Yeah, relatively controlled. Diana, you were making the point in the meeting that coaches may be able to evaluate these joint practices even more, even better than they could the preseason game.
Yeah, bottom line, I think players, coaches, even fans, the preseason's kind of looked at as whatever, right? We don't take it that seriously. These joint practices, though, are taken very seriously because it is the closest to game speed and situational football we will see. So teams are really trying to take advantage of this. And here's another thing. I had a text message exchange with an executive this morning, and he's like, everyone has hit that wall in camp right now where their bodies are tired, their minds are tired, and some change is always good to sort of rejuvenate everybody. So both teams are really looking forward to getting out there today and have this joint practice.
Chris, did you find that when you played, that once you had another team across from you, things felt different in camp?
Oh, yeah, it definitely adds a little bit of juice, Groz. And I'm sure that these guys are looking forward to it. But if you're a player in that Dolphins locker room, you want to see how Tua is going to handle all of this, right? Because this is the first time since he's been in Miami where he is the unquestioned starter going into the season. And now it's a matter of being able to have that command of the offense to show those leadership intangibles, to be able to communicate. I think that goes a long ways in terms of evoking confidence in your locker room and in the organization that you are, quote unquote, the guy. So I think that's the opportunity that's in front of Tua this week, practicing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and going head to head with Tom Brady.
What do you think? Can he do it?
Well, he certainly has the opportunity. If he's ever going to do it, Dan, now's the time. So I think preseason games actually now are consequential. So we're going to find out soon enough.
We sure are. The proof will be in the pudding. Lots more quarterback talk on our show. When we come back, we're going to talk about the big cheese in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, he says he feels good about his receivers, but should he or will he miss Devontae Adams more than he's letting on? And some basketball, Kevin Durant's ultimatum. He wanted Steve Nash. Now he doesn't want Steve Nash. What should the Nets do about it? We will have Brian Windhorst to break it all down for you when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Meanwhile on Planet Earth is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Check out this slide from Pirates infielder Rodolfo Castro. He's going to go head first. Why is he going to go head first? He's got his phone in his back pocket. What is it? Why would he have his phone?
You can't get away from it because we're always locked in, Dan. He's checking Twitter. He's probably trying to get ready for his fantasy football draft.
Probably.
You have to have your phone on at all times. I'd do the same thing.
We saw Draymond Green leave and he's going to IG live from second base.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, following along as he runs the bases.
He's got to channel his inner Joe Horn and have another cell phone right under second base. That's what he's got to do.
That'd be perfect.
But even Joe did not have the phone in his pocket while he was playing his sport. We still don't know why Rodolfo Castro did. Time for a game of More or Less, which, as most of us know, should be called More or Fewer, but they don't listen to me around here. Canty, will the Cowboys have more or fewer than 10.5 wins this season?
Guys, I'm going less. I don't think the Cowboys win the NFC East, and the thing that's going to get in their way is their offense. They're a less talented team, yet they're talking about having the most penalized offense from a year ago, and no team had their offensive EPA negatively impacted more than the Dallas Cowboys. Lost Lyle Collins, lost Amari Cooper, Connor Williams, Cedric Wilson. It's going to be tough sledding for the Dallas Cowboys offense this year.
Canty says it's going to be tough for the Cowboys. Diana, what about the Kansas City Chiefs? Same over under, 10.5, more or less.
Oh, I'm going out on a limb here, Dan. I am saying more. I think they're going to be just okay without Tyreek Hill. Here is why. I know the answer is always, Patrick Mahomes. It's the Patrick Mahomes now. He just survived what I guess we could call a slump last year, having his worst statistical season of his career, even though he's still like fourth or fifth best in the league as a quarterback. But I think we are overlooking the edge Patrick is bringing into this season, and they're going to win more than 10.5.
Mike Tannenbaum, Packers, over-under is 11 wins. You got them at more or fewer?
More.
Thank you.
Because they have a great defense. They added 2 really good first-rounders in Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker. If Jari Alexander comes back, he is the best corner in football. They're going to miss Devontae Adams, but Vikings and Bears have new head coaches. The only thing that concerns me is I did get inspired watching Dan Campbell on Hard Knocks last night, so I think the Lions will actually be a little bit more formidable.
You got a little smile on your face. I can't tell whether you're being serious or not. Perhaps we'll dive into that on a future show. But speaking of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and all that situation, Rodgers did speak to the media yesterday about what he is seeing from his new look receiving core. Listen to what he had to say.
These guys, they busted. They for sure busted. And they're all talented athletically. But mentally, there's been some lapses for sure. But mistakes are going to happen. And the most important thing is to learn from those mistakes, not make repeat mistakes. That's why I said in the beginning, we need to have a lot of patience. And the expectations need to be reasonable. Between 88 and 87, there's been a lot of positive things that makes you feel good about the depth we could have in that room.
All right, so he's saying mostly the right things there about his wide receiver group. Should he feel good about this group?
Yeah, I think short term you have some veterans there in Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins, obviously Randall Cobb, and then you have some young guys in Dobbs and Watson that sound like there's reasons to be encouraged. Don't forget they have two really good running backs in Aaron Jones and Dylan. So the only concern I would have, as Hembo always reminds us, is the most receptions any rookie wide receiver has ever had with Aaron Rodgers is 38. So it is going to be a work in progress, but there's enough there, guys, with veteran receivers for them to win early.
Yeah. Diana, what are you hearing about Rodgers and his wide receivers?
All right, I'm going to be a little bit more philosophical here. Aaron's been given a lot of interviews lately, and I've listened to them all over the last week or so, and he is really comfortable in where he's at in life. In football. And yes, there's going to be a learning curve. There's no Devontae Adams out there. Devontae Adams is the best receiver in the game. There's no question he will be missed. But I think the patience that Aaron Rodgers is going to have with these young receivers is going to be impressive. I think he is comfortable with this group of guys, and he's saying the right things. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is saying what we just heard him say if he was miserable with these guys, because we've seen him do it in the past when he's not happy. He lets us all know. I like this version of Aaron Rodgers, and I believe in his receivers.
All right, Canty, what do you think about this situation?
Well, Diana, he did that in the past because he didn't have the ayahuasca in his life. So this is a new version of Aaron Rodgers. But, guys, how he feels about his wide receivers is irrelevant to me, because the fact is, over the past 2 years, he created a dynamic within the organization that led to the best receiver in football choosing to play with a lesser quarterback in a tougher division, in a tougher conference for less money. Guys, the reality is that Aaron Rodgers has a lot of show and prove in terms of being able to make it work with this team. That's the biggest thing for me. It feels like an indictment on his sports character, the fact that Devontae Adams would choose to go for a more stable situation with, wait for it, the Las Vegas Raiders overstaying with the Green Bay Packers. I just think that speaks volumes about the roller coaster ride that Aaron Rodgers created for everybody in Green Bay over the past two seasons.
Very interesting, because, obviously all that's true and well-established, but Diana was making the point that she thinks that the guy, Rodgers, sounds different to her. Do you think it's on him to adjust who he is to make sure this new group works together?
Absolutely. That's what leadership is. And I think Chris nailed it. I think there was fatigue there. And if you're Devontae Adams, you're going to certainty and stability of Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr. So actions speak louder than words. He was in a really ideal situation where he could have gone all the way through most of his career with a Hall of Fame quarterback and have an all-time connection with Aaron Rodgers, and he chose certainty and stability. And now Aaron Rodgers, the definition of greatness, guys, is to make those around you better. Now, if Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs each have productive seasons, then sure, that's an example of why Aaron Rodgers is great. But I don't think we can ignore the fact that Devontae Adams left him, and that does speak volumes to that situation.
And Adams did say that the uncertainty around Rodgers' situation. Sorry, Diana, go on.
Mike has so much belief in Josh McDaniels' stability. He's calling it in Vegas already. I know he's had a good offseason and a solid start to camp here, but I would say the stability lies in Green Bay, right? It lies with Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers and what they've done. So I cannot believe I'm going to quote Bart Scott here. This is when I know things have got to change around here. But Bart always pointed out, we're talking like a year ago. Bart used to say to me, even in the green room, he'd be like, Derek Carr and Devontae Adams are going to play together. They want to be together. It has nothing to do with Aaron. They just want to, relive those moments that they have because they're best friends. And I'd say, best friends? What are we, in third grade? Who cares about being best friends? Yeah. You want to play with the best. Aaron Rodgers is the best. And now this is Devontae Adams to figure out.
Yeah, painful as it might be, Bart was right all along. We have lots more on this coming up later in the
First
show.
Time.
We come back, though. We're going to talk basketball. Kevin Durant, his ultimatum. Are we headed toward a showdown between KD and Nets management? Brian Windhorst and Jay Williams are here to talk about it next. And we'll take it to New England, where they got some problems in practice. Is it too early to sound the alarm about Mac Jones and the Patriots offense? We will tell you when we come back.
Yeah.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on Get Up, we're going to talk some basketball. Kevin Durant and Nets owner Joe Tsai met in London recently, and Durant reiterated his desire to be traded. Sources confirm he suggested the franchise needed to choose between him and coach Steve Nash and general manager Sean Marks. On Monday, Tsai made his feelings clear on Twitter. He said, "Our front office and coaching staff have my support. We will make the best, we'll make decisions, excuse me, in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets." So this situation remains what it has been for a while. We have Jay Williams here. We have Brian Windhorst. Wendy, we'll start with you. What's going on? What's going to happen here? When's it going to happen? Fill us in on what's going on with this situation.
Yeah, the league, Dan, the league was pretty surprised by this move by Durant. It's a little bit curious. Clearly what he wanted was to reiterate his trade demand and to speed up the process, because in recent weeks, the Nets have really not been making any progress on trade demands or on trade talks, and frankly had been positioning themselves to bring Durant back. So Durant could have accomplished that short of demanding the head coach and general manager be fired in August. That demand probably hurt his position because, frankly, it's so ridiculous and preposterous at this point that it's easy for the Nets to say no to. And it also sends a message to the rest of the league out there that this is a player who is potentially going to get cheaper, not more expensive. So that's not what Durant wanted to accomplish. Not only that, it limited his options, guys, because now he has asked for a trade and it hasn't been granted. He has asked for the coach and general manager to be fired and that hasn't been granted. And so now, how do you go forward and report to training camp when you've been told no? And that's the now coming drama with this situation.
I just want to ask people this, and if I've gotten fortunate in sports, Dan, Brian, I'm sure you guys have too, where you meet owners of teams, or I've met guys who have been billionaires. You tell me a scenario where you have delivered an ultimatum to a billionaire where it typically works out in your favor.
So what is he doing?
I think it was a flex. It was, this is what it's going to be. Now, look, if this equates to Kevin Durant sitting out of training camp, I think you have to deal with it then. But at the end of the day, I would trust in the fact that Joe Tsai has built companies from the bottom up where he hasn't taken lightly to threats like this. Yeah. So at the end of the day, I think Joe Tsai's put his staple out there by saying, I believe in our coach, I believe in our franchise, and by the way, you have signed a 4-year deal here where I don't feel the need to move you unless I get equivalent assets in return.
Yeah, tough to outflex the billionaire in this situation, that's for sure. And it's a lesson that Durant may be learning. Wendy, you mentioned, training camp coming up. Is there a situation where he could show up for camp? Or if camp started tomorrow, do you think he'd go?
Yeah, so I think even a week ago, Dan, there was a thought in the league that this could take the same path that the Kobe Bryant trade demand happened back in 2007, which is Kobe, we remember, said, "I'm not going to play another game in a Laker uniform." They couldn't find a trade, and they Easy Truce. They ended up making the finals the following year. That was the path that the Nets were on. And Durant has basically said that's not going to fly, at least for today. I mean, this situation could obviously change in a month. But he's basically said, I am not going to go the Kobe path, and I'm not just going to accept my situation and hope that things eventually change. I still want out of here. And so when you look at it that way, it is the most important thing that happened here, which is the status quo was not an option for him. The second thing that I think you can take away from this is the second sentence of Joe Tsai's tweet. Now, obviously, the first sentence where he's saying he's not firing his coach and GM is important. The second sentence was a message to Durant and the whole league, which is we're going to do what's best for the Brooklyn Nets. That is code for we are not going to make a trade just to satisfy this player. No matter how good he is and no matter how much pressure he's going to put on us, we have all the cards. We have a four-year contract. And so I suspect that that will be their position come the start of training camp. And that could lead to Durant not showing up. And now we're right back in the situation where we were with Ben Simmons a year ago, a player on a four-year contract potentially not showing up. And the crazy irony is Ben Simmons is on the team. Hmm. And Kyrie Irving, the player who we thought might not be a net, is on the team, and they probably will be there on the first day of camp, and maybe Durant won't be.
You know, Wendy, I talked to a couple of GMs over the last couple of days, and some of the questions in just a fluid conversation they've been having about the matter is, hey, we understand the type of player that Kevin Durant is on the court. He's one of the best players there is in the game of basketball, one of the best players the game of basketball has seen in the history of the game. But when it comes to leadership, and if he's willing to force his way out of this situation, similar to Ben Simmons, what makes us think that he wouldn't force his way out of a situation if it got tough, if he came to our team after we had to give up the house for him? And I think that's something that a lot of people are really pondering through when it comes to, do I sacrifice the depth of my team in order to get a caliber of the player of Kevin Durant, if that means he may be with us for a short term?
This seems to be the issue a lot of teams are confronting in the NBA right now as players continue to try and flex their influence here. Chris Canty wants in on this. Canty's been talking basketball on his radio show a lot lately. Chris, what do you got?
Well, here's the thing, guys. We're bringing up the Ben Simmons situation and how he sat out the entire year with the Sixers until he was moved to Brooklyn. It's a very different dynamic with Kevin Durant. Ben Simmons was in his mid-20s. Kevin Durant is going to be 34 this upcoming season. And we're talking about a player that's missed 140 games over the last 3 years. I'm not sure that Kevin Durant wants to sacrifice a season while he's still at the height of his powers and knowing that the end is closer than the beginning. So I just think in terms of the overall leverage, it's with the Brooklyn Nets, Joe Tsai, and Sean Marks. And let's not forget how all of this started, guys. It all started when the general manager decided that he was going to hold all players accountable, including Kyrie Irving, for a team-first agenda moving forward. And that's why Kevin Durant took issue with the direction overall that the franchise is heading in. Before that, there were no questions about how comfortable KD was, so much so that he signed a contract extension before the start of last season. So Kyrie Irving seems to be the genesis of all of the Brooklyn Nets problems, but the reality is for KD and Kyrie, they don't have any more options.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember when Kyrie was the Nets' biggest problem. So, I mean, that doesn't seem like – but anyway, one thing's for sure, we will keep everybody posted on this situation as it continues, and it surely will continue. We're going to switch back now to football. We're going to talk about the Patriots. Just a day after the Patriots' offense had arguably its worst practice of training camp, Mac Jones spoke to the media and acknowledged the struggles as the team transitions to a new offense. But – the second-year quarterback said he is confident things will turn around.
I'm going to figure it out. I always have, and I always will. And at the end of the day, you're going to have your ups and downs with anything new. But I've learned a lot of different systems, and the guys around me have too. And we know what football looks like. We know what a good play looks like, and it just needs to be more consistent. And we all trust in each other at the end of the day. When I walk on the field and there's 10 people that look into my eyes, I know that they're going to trust me to do the right thing on game day.
Diana, what are you hearing there in those comments from the Patriots' young quarterback?
Dan, I'm listening to Mac Jones, and I'm thinking, Graz has been covering the NFL for more than 20 years. Have you ever heard anything like this come out of New England? Anything even remotely close to sounding like dysfunction? And here you have Mac Jones in his second year taking full responsibility for all of it. Because from what I've learned behind the scenes, it is not the same New England offense right now. It is not the same clean, clear, cut way they're doing things on offense. There is still some things they're sorting out, and it's obvious. You don't need me to share the conversations I have in New England to let you know that. You can hear it and see it based on what the players are sharing and also the kind of practices they're having on offense. But Bill Belichick seems to think, and look, he's got all the right in the world to do whatever the heck he wants. He's earned that. But he seems to think that this coaching staff is the right staff for the offense that they're trying to implement. I don't even understand what offense they're trying to put together right now. It's all a little confusing right now.
It is. I mean, the Patriots are changing their offense for the first time in about 20 years. I mean, this is like the same stuff Charlie Weiss was running. So it's complicated, and they're doing it, as we've discussed at length, with coaches that don't have a lot of experience on the offensive side of the ball. So, Chris, how concerned are you about all of this in New England?
I'm not concerned about it in the least bit, Groz, because in Bill Belichick, I trust. You're talking about a head coach that's been a part of the National League across five decades. So this guy has more answers than anybody else in the NFL. And we also have to keep this in mind, guys. I mean, at this time during training camp, the defense is usually ahead of the offense. So it's not surprising to hear that the Patriots offense is struggling a little bit. And guys, stop me when we've seen Mac Jones and this offense play in any games, preseason, regular season. Like, I'm not going to panic just because it's practice. Like, we're talking about practice. Like, it's usually going to be set up to be harder in practice than it is in actual games. So let's pump the brakes on the sky is falling stuff with Mac Jones and this Patriots offense. Of course, there's going to be a learning curve because Matt Patricia has never called plays on the offensive side in the National Football League. Play calling is more art than science. He's got to get a feel for that. To what degree that impacts Mac Jones remains to be seen. But I'm not concerned about Mac Jones or this Patriots offense in the least bit.
Diana, you get the final word.
Sorry, I'm listening to Chris. Chris, are you listening to what you're saying? You're like, oh, Matt Patricia, this is first time calling plays. You know, it's going to take some adjusting. What are we doing? Why then? Why do you have somebody in place calling plays that's never done it when you're in New England with a second-year quarterback who needs to take another step forward in order for them to have success? And the new offense, again, like, what is this going to be? Why are you making all these changes with the people that have never even done any of this? It just, none of it really makes sense. Bill knows what he's doing. I just would love to know what it is.
Yeah, I said final word, but it was a question. So, Canty, you can answer.
Well, here's the thing. Belichick is the backstop for all of it, right? And his coaching philosophy is, if you can coach defense, you can coach offense. If you can coach linebackers, you can coach running backs. It's not necessarily position specific, yeah, or, you know, dictated by the side of ball that you learn the game in the National Football League. So I just look at the situation and I say, I have to trust Bill Belichick. Maybe if we're talking about another coach with a lesser resume, I would be more concerned. But because it is Bill Belichick, because you did have Mac Jones lead the highest scoring offense since RG3 led the Washington Redskins in terms of a rookie quarterback in the team, I'm not concerned about what the Patriots offense is going to look like in 2022.
If you can coach defense, you can coach offense. I was thinking, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. We'll see how the Patriots do with all of that as this continues to move forward. When we come back, though, we'll talk NFC East. Cowboys clearly have the better quarterback, but our former Cowboy will tell you why he thinks the Eagles will win the division.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back on Get Up, and meanwhile on Planet Earth, take a look at the newest item being sold at Kauffman Stadium, a home of the Kansas City Royals. This is the barbecue Reese's sandwich. It's got pulled pork doused with barbecue sauce, topped with bacon bits and Reese's peanut butter cups. Now, I like all of those things, Chris Canty, but I'm not sure I would eat them all together on a sandwich. Would you?
Well, Graz, we're on the opposite end of the spectrum because I subscribe to the belief that chocolate, bacon, and Sweet Baby Ray's makes everything better, and putting that all on a pulled pork sandwich, sign me up for that. The Kansas City Royals are clearly trying to get people out to the ballpark. It ain't the team that's going to do it. This sandwich just might.
I'm starting to think you might have created this sandwich the way you just sold it. I mean, you like all that stuff. That seems to be right up your alley. So, all right, well, I'll see you in Kansas City, and we'll catch a ball game and have a chocolate barbecue peanut butter sandwich, I guess. You go first.
Hello, let's do it.
Time now for buy or sell. Mike Tannenbaum, are you buying or selling that the Ravens will win the AFC North?
I'm selling. Guys, we got to get used to saying this. The Cincinnati Bengals are for real. I'm taking nothing away from Baltimore. I like them a lot. I think they're going to be a lot better coming back from all those injuries. But the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, they are here to stay with great young skill players. So taking nothing away from the Ravens, I'm going with the Bengals.
Yeah, chance of a really good race there if the Ravens come back healthier than last year, which they almost have to. Diana, are you buying or selling the Chargers winning the AFC West?
Oh, this is a hard one, but I'm selling on this one. I know on paper right now this Chargers team looks really good, and they were this close to making the playoffs last season, but you still got Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs that have won 6 straight division titles, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 Super Bowl. I am not counting them out. And, oh, yeah, Devontae Adams joined the Raiders. I'm a little worried about them, too. So, no, on the Chargers.
Not going to be easy in the AFC West. Canty, are you buying or selling the Eagles winning the NFC East?
Oh, Graz, I'm buying it in the big way. I believe that football is won at the line of scrimmage. And when you look at the Eagles, they have the best offensive line and the best defensive line in the NFC East. You're talking about a quarterback going into his second season as a starter. I believe in what Nick Sirianni is building in Philadelphia. Eagles win the division.
Yeah, the Eagles look stacked on both sides of the ball. And we've been having this conversation for much of the offseason, but Mike, you've consistently made the point, and I don't think it's in dispute, that the Cowboys have the better quarterback and that matters, right? So if you look at Jalen Hurts, like, what does he have to do this year? What does he have to show this year to make good on the promise that the rest of the roster seems to have?
His accuracy down the field has to improve, and specifically when the ball travels 20 yards or more down the field, that's where Jalen Hurts has struggled. If he can improve upon that, guys, look out. This team will be really hard to beat when you look at some of the weapons on the outside. But here's the statistic, which is when the ball's in the air 20 yards or more, he was 20th in the league in completion percentage, and that's not good enough. And if I know that, so do opposing defensive coordinators. So that's something that has to be improved upon. And if he can do that, he has great work ethic, great character. They will be hard to beat. But that is a big area of concern, is his downfield accuracy.
Diana, how do you size this up, this Eagles-Cowboys debate?
Well, Jason Kelce told me recently that he would go to war for Jalen Hurts. And it wasn't that type of speak of, oh, let's go get him, teammate. He really believes not only just in what Jalen Hurts can do naturally with the talent he's been given, but the improvement, the growth, and obviously this roster that GM Harry Roseman has built around Jalen Hurts to be successful. So it's almost like he doesn't even need to be that great. But if he is, that's an extra bonus. So you have one scenario in Philly where you've got all the pieces around the quarterback that are fantastic. We've got the D-line, the O-line, the receivers, the running backs.
Then you got Dallas, where this is on the shoulders of Dak Prescott. We can break it down a million different ways, guys, but the Dallas Cowboys' success this season sits on Dak Prescott's shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, look, we do focus on these quarterbacks, and for good reason. They're great and they're exciting. But you know, the story for Dallas much of last year was their defense. And, Chris, you think the Eagles have done enough work on that side of the ball that they should be right there with them, right?
Absolutely. You're talking about a top 10 defense from a year ago, and all they did this offseason, Groz, is get better. They added James Bradbury to play opposite of Darius Slay. They added Hassan Reddick, a double-digit sack man from the Carolina Panthers, not to mention drafting Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean to go into their front seven. So I love the way that this Eagles defense is set up. They're going to create field position. They're going to steal extra possessions for that offense. While I agree with Mike Tannenbaum that Jalen Hurts has to be better throwing the football, I disagree in terms of the area of improvement. Jalen Hurts has to be better on the shorter and intermediate passes with his accuracy. Last year, he was 18 for 70 in tight window throws. Now, adding A.J. Brown should help that because A.J. Brown was top five in receiving yards on tight window throws. So that should be an area where we see Jalen Hurts' game take a quantum leap. And if he does, look out because this Eagles team won't only win the NFC East, but you're talking about them potentially going on a deep playoff run.
Quick final word.
Yeah, this is why we're talking about how valuable the quarterback is. Dallas lost all these players, Amari Cooper amongst others. Yeah. Chris did a great job talking about all the players that the Eagles added. But the difference between Prescott and Jalen Hurts may make the difference in Dallas winning.
Plenty more time to discuss this as we get closer to the season, of course. But I want to read another baseball highlight. Shohei Ohtani and the Angels are facing the Athletics. Ohtani's pitching last night, which is always exciting. Bottom of the third, Angels up 1-0. Athletics with runners on the corners and two outs. Ramon Laureano rips this ball right back at Ohtani. It deflects off Ohtani. He's able to throw the first for the out, but he's clearly in some pain after the play. Take a look. Looks like he got hit in the left foot. He limps off the mound, but he would stay in the game because Shohei Ohtani is a cyborg sent from the future to make baseball look easier than it is. Bottom of the fourth, two outs. Ohtani back in a groove, strikes out Jonah Bride. Bottom of the fifth, strikes out Nick Allen. He went six innings, five strikeouts, no earned runs, and of course, in the top of the seventh with the Angels up 4-0, he also hit a home run. It's his 25th home run of the year. The Angels won the game 5-1 because they have Shohei Ohtani, who this year has 157 strikeouts as a pitcher. That passes himself for the most in a season by a player who also hit 20 home runs. The only other player with even three pitching strikeouts in a 25 home run season is a guy named Babe Ruth. So that's what Shohei Ohtani is up to in Major League Baseball. Little League Baseball, the road to the Little League World Series continues in Williamsport. And the regionals, Missouri taking on Iowa in the Midwest at 11 a.m. Eastern. Then we'll have three elimination games, starting with New Hampshire and Massachusetts in the New England regional, Oregon and Idaho in the Northwest, and in the Great Lakes, Kentucky and Ohio. All four of those games are on ESPN and the app, so you can watch while you're running the bases. Coming up, Tua, Tampa Tom, and tampering. The quarterbacks take the same field this morning, and there is a lot at stake for one of them. We're live in Tampa when we come back.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.